This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Jay Southland, Tow Service, text line 913-586-7965 from the 816. I'm tired of the winter. This is pretty lame.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree.
Has winter even technically started?
No, I don't think so. Right?
I think the first day of winter is in like a week or something.
Yeah, I don't think it's even the first day of winter. Now, I'm with you on the whole. It's dark at 5:15. There's nothing, or 5:05. That is the worst part of this time of the year. That's it. Like, we all know if you grew up here, it's going to get cold, and we'll occasionally have a snowstorm. We might get like 6 inches of snow randomly one weekend or something. It's the dark thing at 5 that sucks. That's honestly the worst part of this.
Leave here and it's pretty much dark, and you're like,
not for us. We're not
close enough.
No, it's more like for Carrington, where it's like he's doing an hour of his show in the dark, and like he knows for sure. You know what I mean? That's worse. People that are working normal 9-to-5s, or the person that works early enough where it's dark when they leave for work and dark when they come home from work. That sucks.
It's not fun. I mean, nobody likes winter. It's the worst season.
I know some people think.
What are your power ranking of the seasons?
ranking? Fall number one, spring number two, summer three, winter four.
Okay, so I've gone back and forth on fall and spring, which are obviously number one and two. I've decided spring is one because I get all those warm months of summer after.
Fall's one for me because it's football season.
Interesting. Spring one, fall two,
Gold
summer.
To grind the tape, you know?
Right. Summer fall three, winter four. I'm not anti-cold. It's not, you know, like, whatever. I don't mind, like, being out in the cold a little bit. But it's just, like, summer's better. It's sunny. Yeah. You're going to be outside and be in a pool.
I hear you. Let's go out to the hotline and welcome in our Chiefs contributor. Also, he is a seasonal expert from SI, Chiefs on SI, Josh Briscoe. Where do you stand on this?
You guys have made a lot of great points. Here are a few things that are jumping out to me. One, getting dark at 5:30, that's a self-inflicted wound by us here in humanity. We don't have to be doing this with the time changes. Mm-hmm. We could at least get an extra hour of sunlight. We can't do that much about getting cold. We could fix that. So I'd like to see somebody go ahead and run on that platform.
It sounds like might happen. What you're saying might actually finally happen.
It should. I feel like that. Let's talk to the farmers, make sure they have the sunlight they need, and then let's go ahead and make sure that it doesn't get dark by the time we're all leaving work. Number two, I understand, Cody, your appreciation for spring and having it rise your power rankings. But as someone with absolutely debilitating seasonal allergies, spring can go bleep itself.
I don't have any allergies at all. Is that why I like spring?
Winter is the only time of year that my sinuses feel normal, barring a cold. I know that I'm the outlier there. But again, I don't mind the cold. I'm a Christmas baby. I've always loved the Christmas season. I like some snow. I'm okay with a chill. I love hoodie weather. Summer is borderline irredeemable far, far, far too often. I hate getting in my car and pitting out by the time I get to my destination. That's not an issue that winter brings. So I think winter gets a little bit of a bad rep. I feel like
you
we
like
to
so
fix
you're
this
fall, spring, winter,
hour.
Summer last.
It's fall one. No argument there. The 4 days of fall that we had this year were beautiful. So yeah, I'll say 4 days of fall and then. Then it's really messy, but I might have winter at two.
Wow.
I understand that largely hinges on if you have to like scrape ice off your car or whatever, but I may go fall, winter, summer, spring. I don't know. I like all of them for the first 2 weeks of the season. And then once it's been 100 degrees 15 times, I'm over it.
Okay, so last question that's not cheese related, then we can get to that. Is a cookie that contains pistachios and orange zest and chocolate chips too much in a cookie?
No. I in fact, my ears have perked up at this.
I made cannoli cookies today, and Alex said I was trying too hard.
Ooh. No, you're not trying too hard. You're just trying hard. Like that's okay. as an absolute lover of the Great British Baking Show and all of the things that come with it.
Here we go.
He gets it.
There's nothing quite like really putting your art into an edible form. So I mean, you can do a simple cookie. I will never denigrate the noble chocolate chip, but if you want to bring me a cannoli cookie with pistachios and orange zest and some chocolate in there, I would love to figure out how that all came together through the guiding, the beautifully educated, guided hands of one Cody Tapp.
He appreciates finer food, you know? He gets
it.
Yeah,
I knew where his answer was going to be. I was not surprised.
He'd have to take an extra shot of insulin. But.
That's true. That's 100% true. But I'm willing to do that for your cookie.
We're joined by Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs.si. All right, so let me ask you the question that I think we've asked three straight weeks. So who's playing left tackle this Sunday?
I don't. Here's a follow-up that I'll ask now. Will we know in 2 hours?
I think so, actually. I do think someone will ask, and he'll just real quickly be like, yeah, it'll be one of you. That'll be it. I think it's not a big deal.
I think your tone is exactly right. I think we're either going to get, we're figuring that out, and we'll see when we get there, or that'll be Joe, and then we'll move on to the next question. So I think Wanye Morris came in last week because Joe Tooney spent all week at guard in practice. I assume, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm assuming that Tooney got the whole week of practice at guard next to DJ Humphreys as the two of them were kind of learning that chemistry a little bit last week. And so it would have been really tough to push Tooney out there, even though they did that the week prior. But with an entire week of knowing that Humphreys was pretty unlikely to play as it seems right now is the case, I bet Joe Tooney's been getting some work at left tackle, and that Caliendo's been getting work at left guard. I'm guessing that's where it goes, but honestly, it would not surprise me if it's him or Wanye. Obviously, it's not going to be anybody else.
How big of a problem is it against Myles Garrett and the number one pressure rate team in the NFL and the Browns? They're not a good team. They do not win a lot of games, but also they might do the one thing they do well on defense might be the Chiefs' biggest flaw.
Yeah, and you mentioning like the pressure rate even beyond Myles Garrett. I'll give you that one first. Myles Garrett, problem for any team at any time, but especially in this circumstance, right? Like, that's a tough matchup for Joe Tooney's first start at left tackle in a million years. That's a bad matchup for everybody, though, when you do consider kind of the complementary nature of that pass rush. Now you have Caliendo in his first start at left guard. You have Trey Smith and Juwan Taylor, who have been kind of struggling with some of the guard tackle counter sort of stuff. Not counter stuff, but some of the stunts and everything in the defensive lines over these last several weeks. I am seeing a number of places where the Browns might be kind of excited to get a chance to tee off on this Chiefs offensive line. So I think it's a huge deal. The good news is the Chiefs know that. Andy Reid knows that. Patrick Mahomes knows that. So I hope we get a little bit of creativity in terms of how the Chiefs protect Patrick Mahomes, in terms of how they keep the offense rolling in this game. And I really do think that they're going to need to take advantage of one or two mistakes from Jameis, because the Browns defense is going to be challenging what is right now the weakest part of the Chiefs offense across that O-line.
I feel like that offensive line is why I think this game is close. Like, I don't know how you feel about it in the early going, but like you could say take advantage of Jameis's mistakes. Nobody gives it away better than Jameis, but also the Chiefs are bottom five in the NFL in takeaways. What makes me think that that's usually a something's got to give scenario, but like in that case, I don't think I lean towards the Chiefs are more likely to get a turnover.
Yeah, Spags mentioned this yesterday in his presser, and I thought it was at least along the right track, where they haven't had a whole bunch of, dropped gifts. I think Bolton has had one or two that have been catchable, but there haven't been a whole lot of just, crushing, gotta have that drops from members of the secondary. I'm hoping that Jameis is able to deliver one or two of those, where you would be upset if the defender didn't catch it, and it maybe that's kind of his margin for error there, or that he tries to fit in a throw that Justin Reed has been seeing on tape all week, and that, there's a pick six in the cards. My out of left field history making prediction for this game that I only half believe, but I only half believe anything I'm predicting about Chiefs games because it's all chaos all the time.
Yeah.
But I am predicting that our weird wrinkle this week is that Trent McDuffie gets his first career interception.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, I what Cody said about, hey, Jameis throws picks, the Chiefs don't get takeaways, something has to give. I guess I don't know why people are siding with the 3-win football team at the something has to give thing. And that's why actually think this will be the most comfortable Chiefs game we've had since the Saints game. And I know that people disagree with me a lot on that heading into this game. I think it'll be the first time since week 5 that we watch this game and we feel like the Chiefs are in full control.
Yeah, I would love that. And I think if there are early turnovers, that could happen. But even then, that's kind of part of the problem, right? Where you have seen the Chiefs be able to take an early lead. And then all of a sudden, the first drive of the second half, the Chargers make it a game just like that after the Chiefs clearly look like the dominant team through the first stretch there. So I think their ability to hassle Jameis and just maybe not speed him up. The Chiefs pass rush hasn't been doing that, but just to rely on Chris Jones to maybe spook him a little bit here and there and to get one or two of those ill-advised Jameis throws. I think we'll see a couple of those. Again, the relationship with the Chiefs being, I think, the worst turnover-creating team amongst good teams, if memory serves, to Cody's stat line there. Like, that is still something that has come by not by strategy, but by situation and how the Chiefs are playing these games and also how opposing offenses are attacking them. So if the Browns, and specifically if Jameis, is wise enough to avoid Trent McDuffie and the challenge everywhere else, you know, we've gotten good news throughout the week on Joshua Williams. That's not a serious injury, apparently, which is great. But he ought to be challenging everybody else. This ought to be a big David Njoku game where they are testing
who's
the
hurt?
Linebackers and the safeties.
He might not even play.
Yeah, I think he's
by the
out.
Way, he didn't practice,
he practice this week.
I think
he didn't
out.
Practice yesterday. So just as a warning,
then maybe not.
Yeah. So
I
maybe
have a
not a joke. I already like the over on. I don't even know the name of the backup, but him. I like his over.
Jordan Akins.
Sure, that sounds good from a betting perspective. But when you look at I'll say this. A lot of times on this show, we like to mock some of the press conference stuff because we're not sure what comes out of it. But Patrick Mahomes said something on Monday or Wednesday that I had not been paying as close attention to, and I didn't realize. Rashee Rice has kind of snuck up on me over his last four games. He said he'd been playing a lot better since the Bills game. He's been steady as a rock, pretty much four or five catches and around 50 yards. That's consistently what he has done. Are you seeing growth out of Rashee?
I think you meant Xavier Worthy both of those times.
Not Rashee.
You said
Xavier Worthy,
Cody,
sorry.
You said Rashee Rice was sneaking up, and I was like,
What's
happening?
We compared him to Rashee Rice because it happened at the exact same time he started getting better.
Yes. No, that's legitimate. Especially that play where Pirine, you know, dies a noble death on the pass block, and then Mahomes does his little magical thing in the backfield. Having Worthy coming back for the football, and I see a few different places have kind of broken down that play in a few ways, but watching what Worthy has done in a few big moments, but specifically finding kind of the end of his route, realizing that the timing of the throw is now off, and then he starts working back to Mahomes, sits down in that space, and then comes back to the football for a pass that otherwise could have been picked off, broken up. That is a guy who has found some comfort in this offense. And this is something that I know, you know, you guys were talking about in April, I'm sure, because this is always kind of the timeline we discuss for Andy Reid wide receiver rookies. But it's not just that they have to like learn all the terminology and then remember which number route they're supposed to run. There are so many moving parts within how they're reading defenses and the timing of everything and how these routes all work together. And again, like, think about reading defenses live as you're moving at the snap, after the snap, game is built around trying to scramble your brain. And so you get a very young receiver who I think has begun to see that the game slow down a little bit. He's also, to be fair, two or three better throws from Patrick Mahomes, and I think we would just be talking about Xavier Worthy like strengthening a dark horse rookie of the year campaign, because a couple more of those bombs and a couple more touchdowns would totally change, I think, his national perspective, at least. Maybe not so much in Kansas City, because I think we've been paying attention to the fact that he has been in a lot of good places, very often off by a very tight margin. Now, over these last several weeks, again, with that consistency showing up, I think that's very real, and his life will only be made easier by the return of Hollywood Brown over the next couple of weeks.
Another minute or so here with Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs on SI. Hollywood Brown, it looks like, got cleared by the doctor yesterday. The Chiefs could open the practice window today, if not certainly on Monday. What are you expecting? Because I know they're going to have to ramp him up, but I keep going back to offseason comments from Patrick Mahomes about Hollywood Brown and how much maybe better of a route runner he is than people realize. Could Hollywood Brown, and Cody mentioned the name Rashee Rice, could Hollywood Brown actually provide that kind of impact at some point in terms of at least the type of routes, not the production necessarily?
I think he could. I think the thing about Hollywood that has been kind of that was lost throughout some of his early signing, and then obviously we just sort of stopped talking about over the last couple, you know, several months, has been that he really can do almost anything at all three depths of the offense. I'm not saying he's Justin Jefferson, but that he could be used deep downfield as a deep threat in the intermediate and in some of that quicker, shallower stuff because of his speed. I know that he's not built like Rashee Rice and very, very very few wide receivers are. But I think having Hollywood back will be enormous if there is any ability. I really think this is an if. Like this, I am optimistic, but I am cautiously optimistic. If he has enough time to get up to speed with Patrick Mahomes before the playoffs, I think we could see Hollywood have 100-yard playoff games. We go, wow, who knew that all this offense was missing was either its number one or its number two wide receiver pretty much this entire season. I really think that is on the table, depending on how much of training camp has held its way all the way to Christmas. The other issue is that right now, I don't know if the Chiefs starters should play or will play in either of the last two regular season games of the year. Hollywood out there with the surgically repaired clavicle joint, catching passes from Carson Wentz, might help a little bit, but it's not really the same thing, and I don't need Mahomes playing any meaningless football. So I think there is a chance that it is a big, big, big deal. I also think there is a chance that there is just not quite enough runway to get up to the speed that they were at, you know, in St. Joe right before the first play of the offense in the preseason.
Josh Briscoe from Chiefs on SI, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the winter season that you love so much.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and shut my window now, but it was nice to have a little brisk breeze throughout this segment.
Yeah. Man, I just, the winter, it's also depending on, for those of you, if you have your car outside, not in a garage, like nobody likes when it's 15 degrees outside to have
you
to wait.
Scrape your car.
Maybe you have remote start, you don't, but still, like all those, these are all things you're not dealing with in the summertime.
I do have remote start, thanks to my ride over Volkswagen Lee Summit. Thank you. The current car, the rental I've got, it doesn't have it. It's like, so now it's going to be all cold when I go out there. I can't even warm it up. Lame.
It's actually not going to be that cold this afternoon.
Oh, really?
That's more of a morning problem.
Felt brisk this morning.
Morning, for sure.
Does anyone else make the mistake? Like, I didn't wear a coat today. I just get my car in the garage. I don't like automatically think grab a coat because I don't go
outside
before I get in the car.
Today was 20 degrees outside.
This time of year, every morning, you just got to know, like, it's that time of year.
I just didn't think about it. I didn't grab it.
I brought the gloves and everything today. I was cold.
All right, the gloves.
Nah,
but his car's outside. It's different. I think if my car was parked outside, I would actually probably be in the same boat as Drew. My car overnight was parked in my garage.
I'm weird with the gloves. It has to be if I'm going to be outside for a prolonged period of time at a Chiefs game or something, or if I know it's like we're talking, you know, 5 degrees, and it's, or if I know it's about to snow and I got to scrape my car, so you obviously
because I
want to
take them off the second the car is even slightly warm, 5 minutes into the ride. So like I don't wear them unless like I'm with Gold, like unless I'm going to be outside for a while.
I think that's the lived in Florida part of me where I cannot stand the cold.
Cody, this is why you check the weather forecast. Just make sure it's not in Celsius.
Got ice skating tomorrow. Someone tell me if it's
you probably should wear gloves.
Tell me if it's going to look like
that. Seems like a perfect place to be wearing gloves. Well, you go to Crown Center, fall on the ice. You want to have some gloves.
Yeah.
Someone's now claiming I'm not allowed to park the rental in the garage. Is that true?
Someone says I'm banned to talk about weather after the Celsius mishap. I apologize.
1 month ban.
That's right. Then especially in Cleveland. I'm not allowed to talk about Cleveland weather.
That seems fair. Let's get to the trash. I did it too quick. I was so sly. I just slid. Sorry.
Trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's talk about the dentist for a second. Very important. Go see the dentist.
Yeah.
You usually got to trust the dentist. You like to go to the same person if you could.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of trust in that relationship, sure.
Seems like it's an important thing. So, there's a story out of New York where a 70-year-old Long Island woman allegedly turned her kitchen into an illicit dentist office.
I'm sorry, what?
And then somebody went there and got 5 teeth extracted.
No, from a woman's kitchen?
Uh-huh. A trusting patient who paid her nearly $2,000. She was hit with criminal charges for running the dental practice out of her one-bedroom apartment.
I mean, I'm looking at the photo. If you make this appointment, there's no way you can say, yeah, this is probably fine. This is kind of on you.
Yes, if you walk into a dentist office and it looks dirty, if it's someone's apartment or house, I'm out. I know you got to get those teeth removed. Sound like these teeth need to be removed. It's not like they weren't removed like when they didn't need to be removed. It wasn't like that. It's just you're not licensed. He goes on to say that prosecutors said a woman contacted this dentist who doesn't appear to be licensed to practice dentistry through a referral to schedule. So somebody referred her. Charged the person who referred her. The victim showed up at the makeshift office with a hanging curtain dividing the kitchen, where the alleged phony dentist told her she actually needed 5 teeth pulled because they were rotting. She extracted the teeth, gave the victim paper towel pieces to absorb a large amount of blood, and instructed her, go ahead and rinse that with salt water. She also told the woman she needed a dental bridge, so she returned to the office several times between August 16th and December 4th, hoping to get one. But the victim never received a bridge that fit her mouth, despite making additional molds. During the five-month period of visits, the patient paid a total of $1,900. Okay. They searched the apartment. They found a curtain hanging in the kitchen, a patient chair positioned near a sink.
If you are getting 5 teeth pulled from some random woman in the kitchen, $2,000? You gotta be getting like $100 a tooth. If you're going to some lady's dingy apartment to get your teeth pulled, at least get the price to match.
You're saying you're gonna go
to the real dentist.
So you're saying if you're in a bind like that,
you gotta be paying less per tooth.
You better be getting that at a discount. And you're saying she wasn't. Now, this is the nastiest part, honestly. There were drawers in the kitchen.
No, I'm not going to like
with
this.
Used dental instruments, as well as impression molds, extraction tools, tartar scrapers, and a large container full of empty vials of medication and used dental needles.
Does this person even like, are they like a disgraced dentist?
They also recovered boxes labeled as single-use dental needles, capsules of antibiotic amoxicillin, an anti-inflammatory, and the local anesthetic lidocaine. A search of New York State records did not turn up anyone by this name who is licensed to practice dentistry.
Well, that's a horror show. But also, sometimes, like, we blame the person. Like, obviously, the person's a criminal, deserves to be in jail, and I can't believe they were getting away with this. How did you go to this lady's apartment, pay $2,000 for months?
She was referred. It said she was referred by somebody. She probably didn't have the money or didn't have insurance.
Yes, that had to be the most reliable person on the planet for me to be going for that length of time as a referral.
Look, I'm with you. I would not. The minute you walk in and you see it's someone's kitchen, I'm out. I'm guessing it had to involve a woman that maybe didn't have insurance, finances were tight, and she thought this was the only thing she could do to get her dental problem fixed. Desperate measure. But yes, walking into somebody's house for a dental appointment is a no-go.
God.
My teeth hurt just talking about this story, actually. Like, my jaw hurts.
I don't even want to think about it anymore. That's what bums me out.
Yeah.
Gross.
Mm-hmm. That's the trash.
I feel bad
day.
For that woman. That's one of the more cringy ones. Like makes you feel like... Ugh. I mean, but again, you can't pay $2,000. If you're getting teeth pulled in a person's kitchen...
She seemed to be trustworthy, I mean, of going back 5 times. Like, she seemed to like the dentist. She went back 5 times.
Must have been a friendly
environment. Or it was, again, financial
reasons.
Other
than the stuff these paper towels in your mouth.
I just
want to
know that referral source is who... Like, when they say referral, I'm normally thinking a doctor is referring. Was this just random person down the street? Oh, yeah, by the way, there's this dentist's office. It's out of her kitchen, but she's really good at what she does. Is that the referral? Because there's no way a reputable doctor or a good friend referred you to that.
Like, just some person shouting at, like, the moon? Like, well, walking on the street?
I always ask the dude at the bodega where to get a filling in a root canal.
Someone's like, where was she even getting these supplies?
Yeah, it's real dental equipment, you know?
That would make me... Slightly.
I was going to say, if you walk in, like, what chair? Is it like a professional, like,
dude,
dentist
chair?
It looks like
a beat up mint green massage
chair.
That's
exactly what it looks like.
Someone brought up a good chair, point. Like, nah.
You could go to a dental school and get work done. Like, I had a friend once.
UMKC's does that.
So there was, it was probably within the last 10 or 15 years. Someone I used to work with, their wife was going to dental school, and like they need like patients to help, and they're like, hey, do you mind, like, are you due for a cleaning anyway? Like, do you mind just going there? She's, you know, and there's an actual dentist that's there. And it's like a legit operation here. So I got my teeth cleaned once from someone that was like learning, and it was free.
Yeah,
like,
great.
But it was to help out a friend. It was just
that
a normal teeth cleaning.
Sounds normal. Not this lady's kitchen.
Yeah. All right, up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. I want to talk more about what we're looking for with this offense in Kansas City against the Browns. Plus, we'll get back into two different ways Cody and I see this game going.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. 1 o'clock hour today. It's a Fan Club Friday on a Red Friday. got a member of the Tap household. I guess not household. Tap family.
We don't live together anymore. You don't. We did share a room for a long time as kids.
That'd be Cody's younger brother. One of nine siblings?
We once got in a fight.
Nine siblings?
Including my stepbrothers. Well, I have eight siblings, nine of us total.
Okay. Nine. We'll call it nine. That
I have six full brothers and sisters and then two stepbrothers. Okay. So nine of us total.
So this will be an interesting 1 o'clock hour. Going to get some dirt. Dig up some dirt. Find out what you were like as a kid.
We got in the, I think, not worst fight, but we got in a fight when we were kids. And like kids do, right? Like,
of course. I ended up in the ER once due to a fight. I got scraped by one of those old hangers in the top of my head. I had to get staples.
I don't know if any of us ended up in the ER for a fight. We certainly got hurt in fights. The worst one of all time. We had gotten in a fight over like one, and I don't remember who now, but like one person had worked on cleaning the kitchen and like somebody had set a bowl in the sink, thus leading to a like, hey, I just had to do the dishes. And now,
of course,
you're adding to the mess. And it was like because of when the fight started, we were holding a gallon of milk, which got swung at the other person, and then we broke the oven knob.
All right, we're going to get into all this.
It was bad.
So 1 o'clock hour.
We get along great now.
We'll have some fun. We'll have a couple drinks. We'll talk some football. We'll talk about Cody's childhood, it sounds like, and then anything else going on in Kansas City. Plus, maybe we'll bring up the 70-year-old dentist in her kitchen again. Someone says, what was she using for pain meds? It said she had lidocaine and stuff. I don't know. Said she had lidocaine based on the trash of the day. But let's talk some Chiefs football. And looking at this offense, they get the Cleveland Browns and they get the Texans, they get the Steelers. And of course, if needed, if they need to play all the starters, they will play the Broncos defense again in week 18. What are we expecting out of the offense the final couple games here? We know what they've been. They've scored 19 points in the last 2 weeks in victories. We know the offense moves the ball, but they're, 20-something in touchdown percentage in the red zone. And all this stuff, we know about the left tackle situation, but they're going to go up against two of the top defenses in all football. So what are you expecting? Like, I'll be honest, because of what I believe the Browns' offense will provide, and I really believe turnovers, I expect absolutely more than 19 points this week against Cleveland. Not because I don't think their defense is good, because I think the Chiefs are going to have short fields at times. I expect multiple turnovers in this game. Something is going to give between these two, as one team doesn't get takeaways and the other one gives up the ball at a pretty good rate at the quarterback spot.
I mean, isn't this kind of the last let's feel good about the offense game? I mean, unless all their problems are just solved in the next 3 weeks. They are facing three of the five teams ranked in pressure rates in the NFL over the last month. This one against the Browns. Obviously, we know what the Steelers defense is, and we know what the Denver Broncos defense did against the Chiefs a couple of weeks ago. I think you just kind of have to look for the offense to hold water. What I'm viewing as a success over the next couple of weeks and month for them is to just not get worse. Not let the offensive line problems completely derail your success plan. Because while they're not a good enough offense at times, they're still hovering around 10th. They're not a joke. It's not a laughingstock of an offense. It's just mediocre. It's slightly better than mediocre because in the last 2 minutes, when Patrick Mahomes has the ball, you're guaranteed some points more than any other scenario because nobody can stop him for four downs. But this is the last chance where I'm going to be like, okay, maybe there's still some hidden secret in there. I know that Hollywood could come back and DJ Humphries could play better.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the last chance.
The level of competition they have makes me like, I'd be fine, I guess is the point, if they just held down the fort for the next month. I'm not looking for massive shows of improvement over the last month. Maybe that comes in the postseason when everybody's healthy and right and has been in the system. But they face too many good defenses to do that. This is the only like bad defense remaining on the schedule for them from a points allowed per game perspective.
Points allowed. And again, some of that I think is because their offense puts them in bad positions. And the points per game doesn't always discount what's going on with the offense. You know, and we had to always remind ourselves of that. I hear you. I would say, though, not that I suddenly think the offense is scoring 30 points a game down the stretch, but to say this is the last game where potentially it could look good, they're going to have a backup left tackle one way or the other playing on Sunday.
Yeah.
They aren't going to have potentially a new wide receiver that they might have come playoff time. I guess, and it's a second game, a third game back for Pacheco, so I'm expecting more from him on Sunday as well, if they actually hand the ball off to him. So I push back a little bit. It's like, this is the last chance. If it doesn't happen this week, then this is just what it's going to be. I don't know how I can say that when we all know the left tackle situation is not solidified, or even like who they want to be starting. Like, it's clear they want DJ Humphries to be starting. They feel he's their best option, but he can't. It looks like the hamstring injury is going to keep him out for Sunday.
And the problem is, if he keeps him out this Sunday, it could keep him out next Sunday. And then he doesn't have enough time to, like, get up to game speed.
Not
and
ideal.
Then is the quality really the same as it would be with Wanye or Joe Tooney the rest of the way? Like, I'm not saying the offensive line has no chance to ever get better, but, like, at some point, I'm just going to have to accept the way in which I think they'll win the easiest, and that the offensive line left tackle is never going to be better. It could just be about the same. And it hasn't stopped them.
I guess
the left tackle's
me,
been a problem. It hasn't stopped them from winning games. But
you can say it's unfair, but I think they're on a different scale because of what they've been able to do. For me, I'll be honest, like, full disclosure, I don't know until I don't see it in the playoffs, I don't know if I'm going to believe that it just can't happen. And some of you are like, well, that's just ridiculous. I'm basing it off of last season. For me to sit here at any point in the regular season and say, like, there's no way that it can get better, I'm not going to believe it until we're sitting there divisional round weekend and it's an utter disaster still, or that the offense is still only scoring 14 points or 19 points, I guess, or whatever. Like, the playoffs will be the deciding factor. And then we get into it, and it's funny because then at that point, everybody shifts their thinking. It's like, then nobody cares what the score is, and they're like, just keep winning games and get to the Super Bowl. So I don't know if we're ever going to get to the definitive answer on it. Like, I don't think a game against Cleveland one way or the other is going to swing people. That's what I'll say it before the game even happens, because I made this point. I wasn't here the day after the Carolina game. I was on vacation, but I said it a week later, and I was like, for those that were upset with the 30-27 win against Carolina,
yeah,
if the Chiefs would have won 45-10, a lot of you would have still said, well, it was Carolina. It doesn't matter.
Browns are going to be very similar.
So what I mean by that is, like, for those that were frustrated about how they performed against the Panthers, or if the Chiefs win by a narrow margin this game, if the Chiefs blow out the Browns, are you honestly going to come in here on Monday and believe me if I told you everything is fixed? No, you'd say, gold, it was the Browns. It doesn't matter. Got to see them do it against the Texans. And I'm not even saying that's unfair, but that's my point. Like, there's nothing they can do in this week that's probably going to change the opinion of anybody, because then you'll come back and tell me, yeah, that was against Cleveland,
but
man.
But for me, though, you put up 30, 35 against Cleveland, I will take it as like a positive step
forward. I think there's a lot of people that will come up with another excuse.
I don't disagree with you, because what'll happen is they'll play close against the Texans the following week and be like, see? Like, the Texans are not a great team, but they're not a laughing stock either. They can cause you problems.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Sean McVay last night, and he was on with the Prime crew after the game, ugly win, 12-6, terrible game. And he's not the first coach that's ever said this, but it's just a reminder every single time. He said something along the lines of like basically style points don't matter, man. We just found a way to win. We got to get in the, we're trying to find a way in the playoffs. Style points don't matter. And we forget that. And it doesn't freaking matter. It just doesn't.
Well, the Chiefs have been kind of the king of that. Like, what's the only year in which you feel like looks-wise, the Chiefs were the best thing to look at? Probably like 18 and 19?
Yeah, they had the number one offense
in football. And 18, they didn't win the Super Bowl. 19, they did. And so, like, when you go back there, or 17, 18, right? When you start going in those ranges, yeah, sure. There was the one year where Patrick Mahomes had 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. It was the most fun offense to watch in the league. They did not win the Super Bowl. The following year, they did look like that again, until Kareem Hunt got kicked off the team and Patrick Mahomes hurt his knee. And then it was kind of ugly the rest of the way until they got to the postseason. And then they started doing cool stuff again. Since then, the Chiefs over the last 3 years, I would say at no point, like, I think if you took a consensus vote from like every head coach or every play, whatever, I think at any point during this back-to-back Super Bowl run, pretty much the entire time, people have been telling you about how other teams are the better team. Look how much better the Lions look. Ooh, look how good Philly looks. Look how good San Francisco. That Bills.
People love points, man.
Yeah.
People love points.
And so they fall in love with this idea that these teams are better than the Chiefs. And what happens is, in the postseason, they come down 10%, the Chiefs go up 10%, and then see who looks better. Or it's a close game. Look, both San Francisco Super Bowls, the Philadelphia Super Bowl, those weren't layups.
Well, look at the Ravens AFC title game this last year. That was a close game.
They didn't have the games in the bag. It wasn't some for sure win of no doubt where it's like, well, they just won style points, right? Beat them 40-10. They didn't do that in any of these playoff runs. Hell, there might be
the Miami games, though, maybe the one exception.
I was about to say, in all three of their Super Bowl runs with Patrick Mahomes, how many blowouts are there? Two?
Yeah, the Miami
and
game.
One was a game they were down 24-0 and eventually won by 20.
Yeah, Texans game where everybody thought they were screwed at the end of the first quarter.
They were down 24-0. It's pretty fair.
You know, and that one, and then Miami last year. That wild card game, it was pretty evident early on. Miami did not want to be there, and they had no chance to win that game based on the weather and everything.
Is there another one I'm missing? I feel like all the other ones have been pretty close.
I think that's it.
So I don't care that they don't get style again, points in the playoffs. In the playoffs, I mean, you and I have talked about this a lot. There's a lot of people who'd be like, well, they didn't look very good in that divisional round game. Like, oh, man, I really don't care now.
Yeah, AFC
style
title
points in AFC title game, divisional round game, just as long as they get the win, don't mean anything.
They win the AFC title game 19-17. Like okay,
they win 3-2.
They win 19-17, and they got to play the Lions, who put up 40. Who cares if anybody's being like, well, they clearly, at that point, none of that matters. No. I get all the skepticism. We've talked about this ad nauseum. The issues with this football team and all that. I'm just saying, at some point, man, when we do get late enough in the season, we're almost there. At some point, yeah, if they're winning games like this, it is what it is. Like, it just keep finding ways to win. There's not a bonus prize. Like the NFL doesn't give the Kansas City Chiefs players an extra $10 million bonus because they won by 21 points. Could you imagine if that was the incentive? Like, players, by the way, in your contract, if you win games by 10 or more, you get another $100,000.
You imagine some of these like 2-minute drills when you can kneel it, like, coach,
going for two,
coach.
We're going for it.
You'd be like, but you don't need this drive to win. We're going for it, coach. We need to be up there. By the way, over the Chiefs practice facility, they have officially opened the 21-day practice window for both Hollywood Brown and Harrison Butker. So I'll just tell you right now, they're not playing on Sunday. I don't think they're playing next Saturday. I think the earliest you will see both of them is on Christmas Day.
Yeah, Butker's...
Maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm misreading the situation. I think you probably say the same thing. I don't think you'll see either of those players until Christmas Day.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% with you. There's no reason to push either player, considering where they're at. A few people, by the way, on the text I mentioned, don't forget the Steelers wild card game a few years back.
Oh, they did kill them in that
one. Was a blowout. That's true. Yeah, that was the Big Ben, right? When Big Ben, we're like, what the hell are they
the
doing?
Suckiest.
The Big Ben, just the...
Is that even that game?
Yeah, that's exactly what that was.
Okay. We're never re-airing that one. I don't care if they face the Steelers in the playoffs. We're not digging that up like the Brown song. That one was so hated. I can't ever play that song in the air again.
Please don't.
I told you. I promise. That one's buried, deleted from the system. Never to be heard again, you know? Never, never, never to be heard again. So you think that this is going to be comfortable?
I do. I really do, man. I know some of... I get it. People are like...
It's just hard right now because it's hard to talk anybody into that. That's a hard sell. You're like,
I know,
I'm going to get you the best price. You know, like, just hear me out. And you're like, okay,
I know.
Well.
Look, I will say, and if you guys have been listening to the show consistently, and I hope you have, we appreciate our listeners as always.
I mean, based on the ratings, I'm just going to say people have been.
Ratings are good. Ratings are good, Cody. It's good.
You know, we've told you nationally we're the 13th ranked mid-market midday show. All I'm going to say is locally, better than that. You know?
Yeah, we're doing
better
well.
Than
we're
that.
Doing
Although,
well.
It's
all
keep
thanks,
listening.
All thanks, to, all thanks to the listeners. We appreciate you guys' support of the show. Very, very much so. As far as the Browns stuff, if you have been listening, you know, I've been confident that they're going to get things corrected. I have not been predicting them to cover these spreads or win ever, like anything like that. They've lost 7 games against the spread. Like, they're right. They've not covered for 7 games. This is not like, Gold, you said 2 weeks ago they were going to win by 7 as well. No, that has not been me. If anything, I told you don't take the Chiefs to cover against the Chargers. I told you
they failed to cover in 7 straight games.
I told you not to take the Chiefs to cover against the Raiders because they wouldn't. The Carolina game was way too big. I said, if anything, you tease a team down. The only game in the last 7 that they've lost that I said I thought they would cover was the Bills game, where I thought when they were underdogs, they were going to win the game. So this is not me like, hey, every week telling you, I think this is the week. No. I think this is the week that they actually cover for the first time in 7 games. And my logic is, let's not overinflate what Cleveland is. And some of you will say, well, Gold, Carolina was crappy too. The Chiefs were like 13 point favorites in the Carolina game. A little bit different than 4 points against Cleveland.
And I still point out with Carolina, and you know that Carolina never possessed the ball with a chance to win the game?
That is also true. It
like,
didn't feel like
that,
it.
Like if you never possess the ball with a chance to take the lead or tie it, then do I care?
The other part, the other part though, in the thinking for this is, in large part, whenever everybody starts to find a trend, right? When everybody starts to find a trend, that is one that I run away from. Like, everybody's like, well, they've lost.
Now that everybody knows
they, they haven't covered in 7. I might as well just keep picking them not to cover. I think you're jumping on the bandwagon too late for that. I think it ends this weekend. I think Jameis Winston's throwing multiple interceptions. That's the one thing the Chiefs have not had. Think about it for a second. This defense, as bad as everybody acts like they are, even though they're top 10 in points per game allowed, they give up a ton of yards.
Yeah.
They buckle down in the red zone. All right, so in this game, you've got Jameis, who might move the ball, but he's going to throw a pick or two. The Chiefs normally aren't doing that. They're normally not getting interceptions. So what happens when that occurs? Offense is getting more possessions in this game than they typically have. We just had the conversation earlier in the week how they barely get the ball in the third quarter. Oh, they're going to get the ball for more than one possession in the third quarter. I can almost promise you. And that is going to allow more possessions for the offense.
More
maybe
chances to
shorter
score.
Field for the offense. I think this is a game. They're not going to win by 14 or 17. I would love that. But I think this will be the most comfortable Chiefs game we have had as Kansas City fans.
And that's 8-1
since week 5. That was like a 26-13 win.
The tiniest sweat, I think, after Colin Saunders got a pick. But that game was over. Mm-hmm. That was just getting ready. Like, had Colin Saunders not gotten the pick, it was going to be a blow. It was going to be a massacre.
Yeah.
Versus like, oh, they made it 10 points instead of the opposite side of that. Mm-hmm. I hope you're right. I do.
The over-under is 43.5. Do you think it hits the over? I feel like it hits the over.
I would lean in that direction. I'm not betting that. I would lean in that direction. I think the Chiefs are scoring like 27, 28 points. So
I hope you're right.
Based off of that and not thinking, that, you know, if it's 28, 21, 27, 21, then obviously that'd get us over. That'd be talking about the over. I haven't got a good sense on where you're at. I know we have our game predictions in the 1 o'clock hour today.
Yeah.
I see a little smirk.
He might think the Browns might win this game. I see a smirk on his face.
I feel like you're predicting an upset this week.
I'm not saying my pick.
Wow, that feels like a yes. He's saving his pick.
If you haven't seen the video on social media, I think the score I gave is not going to be the score. I'm going to change it, actually.
I saw the video during the break. You've been awfully quiet.
There's nothing for me to... Everything that you guys have said, I agree with in terms of...
You think they're losing on Sunday.
I think the game's going to be high-flying, actually.
You
think
they're losing?
There's one game.
What?
Yes. Hold on. You also picked them to lose... Was it to Carolina or somebody else?
No, I haven't.
If somebody acted like this and you said, who are you texting? If you were sitting next to your significant other on the couch and you said, who are you texting with? And they just kept acting like that, you'd be like, something funny.
Go back to every single pick that we've done. Yeah. I have picked the Chiefs to win every game other than the Bengals game. This year.
Okay.
You picked them to beat the Bills.
I picked them to beat the Bills. So there's one game. Everybody was pointing to Carolina. This is the one game that they're going to lose to a crappy team.
Carolina was my pick before the season.
This is the game.
Yeah, it's not it's definitely not like the most absurd prediction or anything. I just feel really good about this, Matt. And a lot of it is because so many people are nervous about it. And so many people are talking about this, how the Chiefs don't cover. I think this will be a little more stress-free than what we've had, and it's going to be nice on Sunday afternoon to be stress-free going into the Bills-Lions game. Chiefs coming off a win. You're feeling good. Defense coming away with multiple picks. Fumble recovery. Oh, I'm telling you, it's going to be great, guys. It's going to be great on Sunday.
It'd be nice to come in here on a Monday. It's been like two straight months of coming in on a Monday and be like, well, they won. Ready to talk about some of the good and all of the bad, because there were a lot of hideous parts of this football game that eventually ended in a win. Or sometimes it's like the comedy way. We get to come in here and we get to have fun because we're like, doink for the division.
Because the other difference is when they played Carolina and some of these other teams, the Chiefs were catching Bo Nix when he was just starting to play great. Now everybody
knows Bryce Young,
he was just starting to play better, and then he's been good. The Jameis stuff... The Steelers ran into that. That was a Thursday night. Like, there's no secret.
Jameis is Jameis. There's no mystery in his play. Yeah.
So I think that helps. It's not Carolina finally, they're coming off a bye. There's something different here, and now he's got confidence. And Bo Nix, he's got something going. Remember, Bo Nix has continued to play better and better each week since they played the Chiefs. Jameis, you said it. Jameis is Jameis. The surprise factor and all that's already happened this year. This is the best I've felt, and this could definitely come back to bite me. That's fine. We have audio for a reason. It'll be fun on Monday. This is the best I have felt about the Chiefs going into a game. I really believe that in weeks.
Yeah. So, I don't think you've come in here like overconfident or anything. Like, it's just one of those matchup ones for me. And we'll get a sense of this, obviously. Again, we'll find out exactly kind of what it looks like as the game goes on. But it'd be nice. It'd be nice to come in here in a confident one.
So does that mean that if they lose, because to me, if the Chiefs lose this one, I think you can just throw it away and be like, okay, it's the bad loss that they have. They're going to be totally fine. With how confident you are, Gold, in this and them winning, do you feel worse?
I don't know if you'll feel worse than we would. I hate the idea.
In terms of the team going forward. Let's say they turn him over. Let's say they turn Jameis over one time and they lose on a last second field goal or whatever the case is.
Yep.
Are you feeling worse about this team? Like, I think there's concerns, or are you just like, this is the throwaway game and it's fine?
It depends if the Bills lose to the Lions or not. If the Chiefs lose to the Browns,
then they reopen it all.
Honestly, that's how I would view it. If the Chiefs were to drop one to Cleveland close, but the Bills lost for their second straight,
like, well,
why would I be like a nervous wreck on Monday freaking out about the season when they need
I don't think you should if they lose to them, or I guess regardless
but
of what
if
happens.
If the Chiefs drop one to Cleveland and the Bills beat the Lions, then the number one seed thing is a problem again. And then we're having a different conversation on Monday. But that what you just described is my point with the Chiefs could blow out Cleveland and nobody would actually take it seriously. Mm-hmm. if they lose, it's the end of the world. Like it's a lose-lose situation.
I don't
for
think it should
narratives.
Be the end of the world, but yeah, that's the national narrative for sure. Yeah. If they lose to the Browns,
I think so, man. I think so. All right, yeah. We'll talk more about this game obviously throughout the next couple hours. Up next, we'll get you caught up on what's trending and some ideas that are flown out already for changes to this college football playoff.